I believe that everyone experiences a bad day now and then, and maybe even a bad week or so every once in a while. These times when nothing seems to go right, we may not feel well, or even may be in some sort of crisis. Most of us cannot hide how we feel, though we may try to put on a good show. What we are experiencing comes forth in how we act, how we respond or not respond to life around us. Whether we like it or not, our lives are an open book for others to see and to read. Therefore, when we are having our bad hair days, we are likely to have people ask, "Is everything okay?" Of course, our stoic selves reply, "Everything's fine. Why?" Then we find out how transparent we are. "Well, you just don't seem to look like yourself." Cat's out of the bag. In fact, I am not myself. Sure, my name is the same. I still wear glasses and hearing aids. There is nothing really different in what I am wearing or in my general outward appearance. But inwardly, I am not myself. And it is obvious to those who have known me. I'm not my normal self. Maybe my eyes are showing sadness. My walk is a little slower, my reactions hesitant. My talk is without expression. My smile may be forced. And my talk is brief and uninspiring. My person is not the normal person simply because circumstances are interfering and blocking the normal well-being of my body, mind, and spirit. I'm simply not myself. It is almost like another person has taken over my body. Yes, you know, sickness, worry, and anxiety, the loss of economic well-being, being down on luck, or the loss of a relationship. All these things and far more can cause us not to be ourselves or the person we have always been. Our personal traits and even our very being change because of the circumstances bearing down on us. It's not a pleasant feeling, since we may not know who we really are anymore. We even may come to the point of being scared to death that we will not find our old selves again. To be estranged from our own being is not only very frightening, but also downright confusing. Unfortunately, one of the common contributors of not being oneself is that of placing ourselves in some kind of a fantasy world. This world, which is fueled by ill-conceived notions, like credit card limits being like money in the bank. Plastic is the immediate way to live a fantasy life of having things beyond our ability to pay for them in any reasonable manner. And this is living in la-la land and thinking it's the real me living in the real world. Then all of a sudden an emergency occurs or something totally unexpected happens. It is the straw that broke the camel's back. Cash is needed and there's none left, nor is there any more credit available, leaving the fantasy world to come crashing down. Who we projected that we are crumbles and leaves us to ask, who am I anyway? Hopefully for many, they are shocked to their senses. Hopefully they are forced to face the reality of who they really are. Hopefully they are confronted with the fact that they have been living a false life, a life of not being themselves. Although the surroundings and earthly possessions may have changed, little has changed within the basic nature of mankind since Jesus gave the parable of the prodigal son. Little needs to be changed between today's story and the gospel story. The basics are the same. The fantasy world, living beyond one's means and living the life of not being oneself. Living the life that we were not taught to be. When the crisis befell the younger son of the parable, reality set in. But when he came to himself, and the Greek word used for this expression was a medical term meaning when he came to his senses after fainting. You know, the life that the prodigal son was living was like being in a deep sleep, walking through a dream world. He discovered the fact that he was not just an actor in this dream. And his dream world was about to shatter into a nightmare. That is when he discovered the harsh reality of how the real world operates. All of a sudden, the real world owed him nothing and made the most repressive demands upon him. Feed my pigs. No Jew could ever be lowered to the point of feeding pigs, the symbol of an unclean and godless life. In order to barely live and not die from hunger, though, he defiled himself as a Jew and fed the pigs. How long can you go? How low can you go? Just ask the lost son, or ask those who have lost everything in their fantasy world. To say the least, they are not themselves. But when that low point is reached in life, whether it is caused by the crash of one's dream world, or being strung out and being addicted on drugs and alcohol or gambling, then that is hopefully when reality begins, brings one to his sense or her senses. That is when a person can come to themselves, awaken out of their unreal world and their false being into the real world of who they really are. They begin to discover the real person. This awakening involves returning to one's roots, to one's core of being. It is rediscovering the values, real values of life, which had been taught to them as a child and a young person, and now they lay dormant. Like the prodigal son, that is when the basic values of family, or the young person, the goodness of parents takes over. If only I could return home. If only I could return home to the love which is there. Then I will begin to become myself again. It is through this love that the real self can be rediscovered. The parable of the prodigal son teaches many lessons, but I will present only two of them. First, it teaches us the everyday lesson that when we are estranged from who we really are, disastrous consequences can and will take place. Resolution will come when forced by dire circumstances for us to come to our senses, to awaken to reality. The parable then leads us to reclaim our basic roots and our core values in life. These core values can be summed up as a matter of love. It is a matter of being able to love ourselves again and recognize and accept the loving hand of help extended by others, but with the realization that life must change so that we will not place ourselves in the same predicament again. We must find that self-worth by making good on our past commitments. At one time or another in our lives, this parable comes alive and touches us. We all become estranged from ourselves to one degree or another, for one reason or another. We all have those times when we are not ourselves. This is when the reality of love for others, ourselves and others, finds its place in our very being. What a lesson that is. The second lesson of this parable is that we can only find our true selves when we accept the fact that we are a child of God. Our identity is first and foremost formed in knowing God as Father of our lives. To come to this acceptance is to know that as His child, we find our true self. By receiving His love and forgiveness, we come to know that we are no longer estranged from who we really are. No matter how far we wander from this identity and from being our true selves, He is there. He is there waiting for us. He is there waiting for us to come home to Him. Scripture says, but while he was still far off, his father saw him, and filled with compassion, he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. You see, no matter how estranged we become, when we come to ourselves and see the reality of our lives, we then can turn to God's outstretched love. Thus, we truly come to ourselves when we are able to say, Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your child. And then you know what? God responds with his forgiveness, and we will again realize who we really are, a child of God. You know, we long to hear, you are my child who was dead and now lives again. You were lost and now found. This is cause for celebration, for we are now who we were created to be,
a loving child of God. And in that, we have found our real and true selves. Amen.